Yes. Quite impressed that we managed to squeeze everyone onto this stage. They initially suggested maybe the two or three of us. But then I thought, oh, no, it's more fun with everyone. This next one is called Music for a Found Harmonium. It's on this Indian suitcase harmonium. Our touring friend, because obviously the big harmoniums. My dad wrote it on a harmonium that he came across on the back streets of Kyoto in the early 70s. He was with a friend, and they found it. It was a very good, nice, you know, useful-looking harmonium. No one around, and they left a note on it just saying, does this belong to anyone? Can we, if not, we'll come back tomorrow and grab it. And they came back, and it was still there, so they sort of picked it up. Between Giles Farnaby and Salty Bean. Giles Farnaby is probably quite good because they've got this, it's a combination of two things. One is a theme written by Giles Farnaby, who was a 16th century pastoral composer in England, so early music thing. And my dad noticed that it worked quite well with Venezuelan Yoruba rhythm, which is played on cuatros. This is a cuatro. This is another. And Yoruba rhythm is basically sort of a Venezuelan folk thing where you do just like triple time. So it's, but you do two downstrokes to get a particular feel. So you get. And so they just work quite well together. Charles Farnaby's Dream.
Thank you.
all we've got time for. Thank you very much. It's been lovely. This is so brilliant. Thank you.
Penguin Cafe, who you'll be able to catch tomorrow at 4 p.m. on stage 3. Another huge round of applause for the Penguin Cafe.
Woo!
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. What a perfect way to round things off musically this evening here on stage 6. And
on any sort of smooth surface, so often it just sort of moves, and as you go through the tune it sort of gets close to the edge of the whatever it's on. It's sort of a close run thing quite a lot of time. Every song is anyway. Cool, so yeah, the next one we're going to do is another new one. It's called From a Blue Temple, and there's a couple of interesting things about it. One is that it involves this bit of glass here. I don't know how well you can see it in the dark, but when me and Jamie, the sound guy, we're making a new album about 18 months ago. We were looking for some sort of sound in the studio that would be quite dramatic. And I had this bit of glass, and so we thought we'd try and break it. And we couldn't because it was really strong, toughened glass, but we noticed that if you touch it, you get this kind of cool gong effect. And it's just based off, especially in really big venues where you get huge bass stacks, it becomes just a very fun toy. So we use that a lot on the track. But the track was based on Fibonacci sequence, sort of slightly oddly, which is a series of numbers where you get each one from adding the previous two together. So you get 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. And then so that in G major goes. And so sort of a development on that is to then sort of turn it upside down to you. And then you move it into a minor. So it's just, yeah, just sort of taking it upside down, moving it around, putting on some minor things. This next one is another sort of old Penguin Cafe favourite. My dad was in his studio in the early 70s making a telephone call and got a cross line. In Australia, there's an engaged tone and a ringing tone at the same time. So the engaged tone goes like this. The ringing tone, there's A just above it. So he took the unscrewed the earpiece. very resourceful thing to do, I think. To unscrew the earpiece, get the cables out, attach them to a phono line into his old Revox tape machine, reel to reel, and then literally made a loop, which he then played a bass line onto using a rubber band to stretch between two the uprights on the back of a chair. I've still got the chair in the studio, and I've tried doing it. It's actually incredibly fiddly to get the rubber band, because it's too stretchy. And then he played a violin line onto it, using that very violin, which I sort of inherited, and it was in fairly bad nick, and then Vince fixed it. It's luthier. We play the sample from my iPhone, because we don't have the tape loop itself anymore. And I think this works. Cass just pointed out it's like a children's bedroom on stage. This tune is sort of this lovely thing my dad had of he'd find something, a bit of telephone thing or something like this pitch bow, and it's like building a piece just to sort of demonstrate, to show more effectively what it is that he'd found that he'd liked. And so this particular thing is these pitch bows, which if you move them around, sort of change the shape of your mouth while you're playing, you kind of get this phasing. So it's like the host kind of drone. So he then built that drone up using the strings and also the keyboard line. But also, when you do this, it sort of suggests a melody, which then everyone picks up on the other instrument. This is, I've rather liked it. I think it's in Malcolm, the film they made here. Can't hear me? Sorry, we'll be louder. Right. Thank you. And there's another nice thing about that piece, the guitar part. It's it's a sort of very the mechanism of how to play it determines how it works. And so this secret one is these bottom three strings. This thumb picking between string 1, 2 and string 2, 3, and so this gives you the whole way the harmonies work within the phrasing. But yes, I've always liked that. Our next one is a tune that's called Beanfields. The reason it's called Beanfields is because my dad was a huge fan of Pythagoras, who was a Greek philosopher and mathematician, and a sort of a bit of a mystic. And he, his entire life, he always taught all his followers not to eat beans. And so he didn't like beans, or he thought they had souls. His end came when he was some other mathematicians also who didn't agree with him. They decided to come and kill him, and he got wind of this and ran out the back of the house and was sort of escaping through town, and was going really well until he came up against some bean fields, which he couldn't get through, and so they caught him and killed him. A shame.